This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our walk through Genesis from chapters 38 to 40, picking up with Judah deceived, Tamar vindicated, faithful Joseph, hell hath no fury, and Joseph in prison. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Thank you. reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. Simeon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may have become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to make your calling and election sure, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
During the great 50 days of Easter, the church has one continuous celebration of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And among the various ways in which that proclamation is heard is there in the proper preface, where it speaks very specifically about the defeat of death by the resurrection of Christ. On the 40th day of Easter, the day we celebrate the ascension of our Lord, the celebration continues, but now with an added twist. And in the proper preface, we hear that twist. These words we proclaim. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection openly appeared to his disciples, so the proclamation of the resurrection continues, and in their sight was taken up into heaven. Ah, the new element as we celebrate his ascension. But then with one final phrase added in to give us the reason, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Now, I suspect that catches some people off guard and certainly grabs their attention. What are we proclaiming here? That we're somehow little gods? Of course not. And Peter makes that very clear in the reading, which perhaps you picked up on this morning, where he spoke about becoming partakers of the divine nature, which seems even stronger than the preface declares it. So what does this mean? And to what end? The first clue we find right at the beginning of the reading as Peter addresses his audience. He says, to those who have obtained a faith of equal standing with ours, by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. A faith of equal standing. What can this mean except the fact that there is in Christ neither slave nor free, Jew or Gentile, male or female, but all one? And this equal standing begs the question of how does this come about? Which Peter so very simply and clearly proclaims. That it is by the righteousness of God. And not just any God, of course, but our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the same Jesus that Peter proclaimed in his first epistle when he spoke of the one who ransomed us not with gold or silver, but with his precious blood, like a lamb without spot or blemish. Or as he wrote later in that epistle, this is the one who bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might not die to sin, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's by God's work, Peter proclaims, that we share in this righteousness of Christ. It doesn't matter your social standing, your past life, how smart you are, how good you look. It is solely on account of Christ and his righteousness that we share in this divine nature. There is, of course, an impediment to all this that Christ bestows upon us, and Peter addresses that as well, the corruption and sinful desires of this world. But Peter uses a slightly more colorful word, lusts, self-centered cravings of every kind. The last thing Satan wants is for us, in fact, to share in this divine nature. Quite the contrary, his call is to follow our own nature, which seeks only to serve itself. And as a result, we cannot help but become callous and blind to the cares and concerns of others. Far too often, our desires are not the things of God, but that which advance our own interests. You know it as well as I do. The subtle ways in which temptation comes squirming into our lives, and often we only realize it as though looking in a rearview mirror to see how we have fallen. The solution to this dilemma? Well, Peter gives the answer, but you do have to listen a little carefully for it. It's all in the verbs. First, he reports that God has granted us his most precious and magnificent promises. And then he immediately says that God has called us to his own glory and excellence. Toward the end of the reading, he reminds us how easily it is that we forget that we have been cleansed from our former sins. Notice the passive voice there. And in the last verse, a future passive of all things. There will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's all God's work by which we are fitted for his eternal kingdom. He continually bestows his promises on us. He calls us. He cleanses us. He will provide the entrance into that eternal kingdom. And yet, Peter doesn't just leave us there, leaning back easy and coasting now in life because God is taking care of it for us. There's a consequence to becoming partakers of the divine nature. Not that we're gods, as we said earlier, but we are godlike. Here's how Peter puts it. For this very reason, make every effort to supply your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, can't even say the word, and brotherly affection with love. It's amazing how insistent Peter is. Whoever lacks these qualities, he writes, is so nearsighted that he is blind. For God's saints to live without brotherly affection, without that sacrificial love that Peter calls for, is no different than being blind, which means to be lost. But Peter also expresses this concept in a positive sense when he says that to supply your faith with godly virtues and self-control is of great benefit. Why? Because he says it keeps you from being ineffective and unfruitful. You can't help but hearing Jesus' own words about the good tree bearing the good fruit. This, Peter tells us, is exactly what the Christian life is going to look like, at least for those who are partakers of the divine nature. One colleague of mine would gasp at what I'm about to say, and I'll leave it to you to see if you can guess who it might be. And that is that Peter is terribly Lutheran in these opening words of his second epistle, which is to say that we Lutherans are quite biblical when it comes to our confession of the work of God. On the one hand, we confess unequivocally that we are partakers only by virtue of God's call and his work in us. But, on the other hand, if we are to have fellowship with this Savior, the one who shares in our very humanity, then our Lord's servant attitude, you remember the attitude which says that he came not to be served, but to serve, that attitude will be manifest in you. May God grant it for Jesus' sake.
In our prayers, we remember Rob Olson, father-in-law of Reverend Christian Schultz, as he undergoes surgery. We also remember the nation of Tanzania as it experiences political unrest following recent elections. Let us pray. O Lord, stir up the hearts of your faithful people to welcome and joyfully receive your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, that he may find in us a fit dwelling place, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, in your ministry, you healed many with frail and diseased bodies. Be present with Rob as he undergoes surgery. Bless him with faith in your loving kindness and protection. Endow the surgeons and the medical team with skill and alertness so that this surgery may help your servant to a speedy restoration of health and strength according to your gracious will. Hear us for your name's sake as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Heavenly Father, God of all concord, it is your gracious will that your children on earth live together in harmony and peace. Defeat the plans of all those who would stir up violence and strife. Destroy the weapons of those who delight in war and bloodshed, and according to your will, end all conflicts in the world, especially the unrest in Tanzania. Fill us with zeal for the work of your church and the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which alone can bring that peace which is beyond all understanding. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you.
Amen.